You know, 2016 has started off with so many twists and turns. I feel as if I've been on the ocean in a raging storm at times, which leads me to today's program, which was titled End Time Waves of Bible Prophecy. So there you go. And once again, I have Dr. John Swanson, Executive Director of Endurance Ministries, joining us in the studio to help us through these raging storms. Now, if you knew me, you know that I love being on the ocean when it's really rough. So for me to say it's felt like a raging storm at times, it's been a bit rocky lately. And I love the passage from Mark 4, verses 35 to 41, where Jesus calms the sea. Let's read that passage. That's Mark 4, verses 35 to 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, let us cross over to the other side. Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was asleep in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the winds and the sea obey him? John, this is my comfort. Why are you so fearful? Don't you know who loves you more than anything else? And he's along for the ride? Well, Dr. John Swanson has dedicated his life to working with college campus youth, bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to them. But he's also devoted his life to helping people understand and be prepared for end times as written in the Word of God. And this devotion to God's Word, biblical truth versus man's traditions, doesn't cause fear for the future, but brings about the peace of Jesus Christ of peace, be still. So, John, let's start there. I want to know, why did you title this one, End Time Waves of Bible Prophecy?
Well, in this title, we're simply seeking to present Bible prophecy in the context of a way that is familiar to most. People understand waves and things, so we're using that little picture. So here are the waves as we're presenting them in light of biblical truth, okay?
I wish I had the sound effects here.
Yeah, that would be good.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Wave one is that of birth pains, Matthew 24, 4 through 8, and 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5 are some of the passages that relate to these early things, so we call them first wave. Wave two includes adverse global conditions, famine, tribulation, and great tribulation, and some of the passages that address those things include Revelation 6, seals 2 through 5, and Matthew 24, verses 9 through 22. And we've actually covered these two earlier waves on prior broadcasts. So you can listen to these previous radio sessions by going to the archived radio broadcast posted on the heartofthesaviorministries.org.
Oh, thanks for that, John.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, John, what happens after the Great Tribulation?
After the Great Tribulation is cut short, our Lord and other scripture go on to state there will be some awesome signs in the heavens. So Revelation 6, for example, verses 12 and 13. Let me read them. I looked when he, Christ, opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. This astronomical display will include the shaking of the earth and, without exception, will capture the attention of all mankind. And yet, there's another heavenly sign which will follow these astronomical ones. After the sun darkens and the moon turns blood red, the initial appearing of the Lamb of God will take place as the heavens scroll apart.
John, I'd like to read that account if you don't mind. So that would be Revelation 6, verses 14 to 17. It says, Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? But our Lord described this same event, John, in Matthew 24, verse 30. Mm-hmm. And it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, I'd think that if the Lord himself took the time to describe this to his disciples in such a way, we should probably take heed and be prepared, don't you?
Our Lord gave this counsel not so much for his sake,
but for ours.
Yes. So, amen. Leslie, we need to be about what he's counseled. And it's this, that his people in Christ Jesus, his Son, be in a state of ready expectancy as we long for his initial appearing. Yes.
So the transition between the second and third waves is significant in these two heavenly events. Let's transition to the third wave of prophetic events.
Okay, but another repetition for the sake of emphasis. These two events unfolding in the heavens are so significant, Leslie. Actually, the sign of the Son of Man begins the eschatological or the end time day of the Lord. And folks can visit our Bible chart on this important event at endmin.com. It's our frequently asked question number 41. It's posted on this site. It's thorough and has been of great help to many.
Well, John, your FAQs have really helped a lot of our listening audience over the past several years to better understand and discern. And I just wanted you to know that I get that notice from my folks that they're going there.
Oh, thank you, because that's encouraging to hear from others, too. We receive our responses of thanks. So thank you. That's encouraging. Amen. Okay, the third wave, as we're describing end time things as waves, okay, just understand that this is an extra biblical picture, but we're trying to emphasize biblical things. Well, this third wave would be the trumpets of Revelation 8 through 11, chapters 8 through 11. Following the seventh trumpet, following the final trumpet, which we believe is the last trumpet of 1 Corinthians 15, verses 51 and 52, following the final trumpet rapture gathering, the fourth wave will begin. The Bible calls this fourth wave period, quote, the bowls of wrath, because his bride, the church, will not incur the bowls of God's wrath as we are kept from this hour of trial upon the earth, as described in Revelation 3:10. We do not experience this gathering of the vine of the earth as defined in Revelation 14:17. And that which is delivered during this time, and that is the actual bowls of God's just wrath. We miss it.
You know, this is extremely sobering to me. Yet, you know, there's hope in what you've just shared. And I know that so many people have rationalized this end time event to a place of denial, as they don't want to believe that they might experience the wrath of God, or don't even believe they will experience any part of the Great Tribulation. So thank you for clarifying this for our listening audience. And just like a tsunami, you know, mm-hmm. the waves keep coming, right?
They do. They do. And for the sake of sound doctrine, let me make one short comment before we get to the other waves. That is, we're not bringing our opinion on this, Leslie. It's biblical doctrine that we're emphasizing. We need to understand that it's the Bible that's our source for clear biblical prophecy. So this is what I'm going to say. The tribulation and the great tribulation period, as defined by our Lord, is not the wrath of God.
Thank you.
That's a crucial observation of the text.
And it's a great misunderstanding by many.
It's huge, Leslie. So it's the charts, the eschatological end time charts just get so skewed because the understanding of certain Bible terms it's redefined. Well, the wrath of the world, in part, tribulation and great tribulation, which is fostered by fallen Lucifer, is not to be equated with the wrath of God. Read the Matthew 24 account without reading into it what some authors' definitions of the tribulation and great tribulation are. Allow our Lord to define his own terms. If we see these end time things in this, his light, our chronology of end time Bible prophecy, take note, will look a whole lot different than the way some chart it today. So let's resume the waves, but let's do so by reviewing what we've covered so far. So let me ask you, what are the first four that we've covered so far in this program?
I knew there'd be a test.
Hey, yep.
But let me show you what a grade A student I am, John.
Okay, and this is an open book test.
Yes, thank goodness. Oh, darn, did you have to tell
them? You can refer to your script.
So wave one is birth pains and general global apostasy. Wave two, adverse global conditions, famine, tribulation, and great trib. Mm-hmm. Wave three, the trumpets of Revelation 8 through 11. That's chapters 8 through 11. Mm-hmm. And wave four, the event of the final trumpet rapture gathering. So this brings us back to that tsunami thing. Here comes the fifth wave.
Wave five is what the Bible calls the second advent or second coming of Christ to the earth, where he, as described in Revelation 19, defeats the global army which will gather together to battle the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. This means the means our Lord uses to defeat this army is so cool, so appropriate. And you can read about this in Revelation 19. But in order to complete the seven waves of end time Bible events, which were highlighting by way of introduction in this broadcast, we need to mention additional waves before our conclusion today. Didn't we do have some time to do so, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Well, wave six is God's millennial reign through his beloved son, Jesus Christ. This time when he rules with righteous judgment will be such a blessing. At the end of his 1,000-year rule, scriptures teach that the dragon will be led out of the pit for one final round of rebellion against the one true God. Scripture says Satan's efforts of warfare will include great deception, whereby he is able to gather one last army to battle God. The word assures us the army will be met with consuming fire. This fire will come down from God out of heaven and will devour the army of the dark one. The devil will then be cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet have dwelt since the end of the Revelation 19 battle.
You know, John, there's never supposed to be dead air on the radio broadcasts. But it takes my breath away, and I believe this is one of those times that's called for that moment of silence. I think there's even a passage in Revelation, actually it's Revelation 8:1, that after the seventh seal was broken, it was silent in heaven for 30 minutes. So I guess if heaven can be silent, we can be silent for a few seconds. And I'm, again, it's sobering, John. But it's so encouraging. In that darkness, will finally be put into its proper place.
Yes.
But aren't there other things which transpire by the seventh final wave? Is it final wave, please? It's over.
Well, in light of the biblical truths, that's how we've constructed it.
Sure.
And so, yes, let me touch upon one additional event, though, which will take place before the seventh wave of end time things unfold. Okay. This seventh wave actually issues in eternity and could
Woo-hoo!
Be set. Yes, amen. So, yes, there's perfection conclusion there, but a new beginning. It could be said that this is the close of human history, you know, from creation to consummation. But once again, one final event serves to conclude the sixth wave, and it's the final judgment before eternity begins. Eternity beginning with the creation of the new heaven and the new earth. So listen carefully, please. The great white throne judgment takes place. This judgment includes the judgment of every human being. The righteous in Christ, sheep, will be issued into eternal life with God in the new heaven, the new earth, and the new Jerusalem. Their names have been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who have rejected the salvation of God through Jesus Christ, his Son, will be cast into the lake of fire. So yes, friends, those who say no to God's gift of forgiveness of sin, new spiritual life and life in the Savior, those who refuse these gifts from God in Jesus Christ, the goats, will go to the eternal home they preferred. Because they freely rejected eternal life, they will suffer God's righteous condemnation through eternity. And this brings us to wave number seven. The title wave, seventh wave, is appropriate in that it employs a number symbolic of perfection. The seventh wave, quote unquote, is eternal, where the everlasting state of each member of humanity unfolds.
Now, I knew there was a symbolic nature to this seventh wave, and John says eternity is a long time, like forever. I like that, like forever. I'd like to close our broadcast today by once again offering the gift of eternal life to our radio listeners. Do you mind?
Well, dear listening audience, if you're an unbeliever today, this part of our broadcast is the most important appeal for you. So please listen ever so carefully. In fact, let me pray. Lord, please open the eyes of needy hearts as Leslie shares your eternal good news, please, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. You know, for those of you listening, I can't impress upon you enough the importance of what has been shared here today. This is a matter of your eternal standing with or without God. And our mission at Heart of the Savior Ministries is to bring hope to those who've lost all hope and to bring about a restoration of relationship with our Father God and a refreshing in your life by sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And our hope rests in the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, came to earth to restore us to a right relationship with Father God, and that by asking forgiveness for our sins, we can have this new life, eternal life, through Him. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So folks listening, won't you join me in this declaration of truth today? John, I don't know about others, but I know for me, as I've studied end-time Bible prophecy, it can be pretty difficult to grasp, and so I'd like you to tell us it's hard for you, too. I'm sorry.
Well, yes, it is, Leslie. The complexity of end-time chronology, it's almost mind-boggling, especially due to all the confusion that comes through some of the false teachings on this topic of the end, a topic that now has become a crucial first things first topic.
I am so glad to hear you say that.
Yeah. Well, Leslie, in seeking to be most helpful to our family in Christ, helpful in the practical, how should I be living today kinds of things, can we revisit the seasonal themes in our next two broadcasts together?
Help me, John. What do you mean by seasonal themes?
Well, I mean going back to the second wave stuff for which we need to be preparing today.
Okay.
As opposed to dealing with the not so practical to us today stuff like the details of the bowls of wrath, the millennial issues, etc. This doesn't mean that we're saying the tribulation period will necessarily begin this year or next, but it does affirm the many Bible passages which counsel us to be ready for the days just prior to our Lord's return. And we're living in these very days. At this juncture, the church, let me emphasize, today needs to be like never before since the early church. It needs to be preparing for, number one, further global unrest expressed nationally and locally too. Number two, earthly disasters which have an effect upon food and water availability, etc. Number three, tribulation, and eventually, once the abomination of desolation is set up, the great tribulation.
So I guess I have to ask, John, could we today be living in these early stages of the second wave?
Great question, Leslie. Yes, it's getting to be not only possible that we're in the beginning stages of the second wave era, as we've defined it, but it's becoming probable we are now starting to see these post-birth pain signs. And given our Lord's instruction that we be sober, watchful, prepared, ready, discerning, etc., we are simply calling His church to do this. Those who are born again in Jesus Christ, please do this, to heed His instructions toward readiness. This is nothing short of preparedness as defined by biblical end time data and also as prescribed by our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, do this, prepare, be ready, be watchful.
That's why I know your ministry is endurance ministries.
Yeah.
Endure, it means to last until the end, run the race well. Yes.
Huge. And all these themes tie to that enduring in Christ, because to not do these things would posture someone in a way that's vulnerable to apostasy, which Scripture says will happen. So what's our problem with the issues of these passages that talk about the falling away, when indeed that's what our Lord has said in His Word? Well, let's do what He said so we're protected in part through this time of trouble.
Let's touch upon two aspects of this second wave period in the next two programs we're going to do together, and one is going to be on May 14th, and then we're going to do a second one on June 11th. So let's address Pentecost, because we will be just past Pentecost when that May 14th program airs, in relationship to end times in May. And in June, let's touch upon end times seasonal indicators as to better assess just where we are at concerning biblical prophecy before our Lord Jesus Christ's glorious initial appearing. Does that sound okay with you?
Very good. And may our Lord lead us in our preparations in addressing these things, our contemporary concerns, unto his glory and praise, but also for our protection, but also, in doing the Philippians 2 thing, for the concerns and cares, loving compassion for those who yet need the Lord. Let's do that.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's a wise idea. You know, after doing our program today, we've had so many passages that we have handed out there. And as for me, when I'm sitting in church, I take copious notes. Mm-hmm. But I also know many times I miss passages that are referred to, and I think, now what was that one? So with your permission, I'd like to kind of put together a little listing of what we did in today's program and put it out on Heart of the Savior's website under the resources page. Would that be all right with you?
Beautiful, beautiful. And again, we do have these websites that post many of the end time passages. Some of them are too long to quote because of copyright things, restrictions,
yeah.
But they're listed there, so they would just need to get their Bibles out and enjoy these passages.
So once again, why don't you visit Dr. John's websites for crucial edifying counsel from his word? Counsel specifically relating to living in our days before our Savior's initial appearing. So that would be www.enduranceministries.org, and you could go to www.endmin, that's endmin.com, for Christ-honoring, Bible-affirming help. You can always visit Heart of the Savior's website, too. That's heartofthesaviorministries.org. To hear the past broadcasts that Dr. John Swanson has blessed us with over the years. So, you know, I love it when you're here. Not necessarily the pop quizzes, but John, I love you being here. I love the way that we can share this news with people that they can receive it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't think of a better source than to call on you when speaking about end times. So I want to personally thank you from my heart for blessing not only this ministry, but me personally for walking alongside me in this, because I am not an expert at this one.
Well, ditto from our end as far as our expressing thanks be to God for your ministries, because as you seek to convey truly the heart of the Savior, you're going to his foundation, his word. That is not our opinion, Leslie. You could go anywhere to get anybody's opinion. We're talking about we need to hear from those who are faithfully communicating the Word of God. And so we find this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's the Word of God that's our resource, and that's what makes the Christian message, at least those who are faithful to biblical truth, so pertinent, because common sense, yes, it tells us that we're in a dark day, we're difficult times, but it doesn't give us the insight that's found second to none in the Word of God. Precious Leslie.
Oh, thank you for sharing that. And John, once again, thank you for coming in and sharing with us, and we look forward to our continuing conversations in May and June. And folks, we've scheduled those for the second Saturdays of each month throughout this year for everyone to listen to. So for today, we hope everybody goes away refreshed, restored, and renewed in who you are in Christ Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the power of the Holy Spirit, and that you will make God's word the every breath that you take this week. So as always, in his service, this is Reverend Leslie Nelson and my guest, friend, mentor, brother in Christ Jesus, Dr. John Swanson of Endurance Ministries.